Welcome to the Emotional Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Rochelle. I'm a holistic human design health coach, and this is a space for your human design and spiritual journey. It's not about being a master of your emotions, rather mastering the tools to self-regulate, to awakening yourself and remembering who you are. Human design changed my life about 5 years ago, and I've been learning and teaching the system ever since. This podcast is human design meets spirituality meets astrology. You don't have to have a belief system to be here, just an open mind and curiosity. This is a journey of meeting yourself and awakening to your infinite potential. Now, let the magic begin. Welcome back to another episode of the Emotional Mastery Podcast. Today, I'm talking to Lisa Duggar, who is a life coach. And Lisa and I met over a year ago, probably, I believe, through Allison Cullen, who has been on the podcast before. And we became To Be Magnetic accountability partners. Lisa was a client for a little while with astrology transit readings. And we just found some commonality in our experiences, our current experiences, even though we're in very different places in our life, but our current experiences and what we were going through. So we found accountability in each other to do the work, to have a safe space, to talk about things that we were experiencing. And we actually recorded this back in the beginning of December. I think it was December 9th that we recorded this. So it's so funny when I edit these episodes that were recorded so long ago, because it's like life has changed so drastically, but these themes are still really relevant because, as we know, we go through these 6 month cycles, especially with moon phases, right? So things that were happening then are resurfacing or just still relevant, but also things have changed so much. Last week with this Jupiter Uranus conjunction, the amount of change that has happened, specifically in the area of career, because my Taurus for me is my midheaven. Taurus is in my 10th house of career and public perception. Like, it's so interesting how much change has happened in that area of my life. Things are moving around at work, and I feel like for a long time I was trying to, I don't want to say play small at work, but I just wanted to kind of show up, do my thing, go home, which would give me more space for this, the podcast, for coaching, for creating all the things that I want to create, because I will be working full-time for myself at some point, and I'm aligning to that. And also, in the meantime, we have to provide, we have to support. I'm a single mom, and so that can be a lot of pressure. So things are changing in a good way, and it's, you know, exciting and scary all at the same time, but I feel like it's one of those things where one thing changes and, you know, we can get really stagnant in life. We can get sort of that routine of like, we wake up, we do the exact same thing day in, day out. And it's like when one thing shifts, when you step out of your comfort zone in one way, everything else starts to change. It like opens the door for so much more to come in. And so I really felt like that was the point that I was at. And so it's, again, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it. But it's just funny that all this happened the week of this Jupiter Uranus conjunction in Taurus, which is right over my sun in my 10th house. Mercury. So we had our full moon in Scorpio yesterday. I'm recording this Wednesday. So yesterday, a lot of shadows might have come up. It's a T square to Pluto, which just means the sun and the moon were in opposition and both square to Pluto. So this is like pressure cooker energy. It can be really intense. It's all fixed signs, you know, Aquarius, Scorpio, Taurus, and just this is a huge opportunity for shadow work. So things that have been coming up over the last month or couple months, because we've just, it literally, it's been one thing after the other for the last couple months. Those themes that have been coming up, the shadows that have been coming up, this full moon was an amazing opportunity to really do that shadow work, because it was called the priestess's moon in the moon phase astrology. But I like to say, as I just like lean into it, it's like Persephone's moon. And if you know the story of Persephone, you know, Hades basically kidnapped her, took her to the underworld. Her mother, which is Demeter, which is like Mother Nature, was just grieving and looking for her. And that's what winter is, right? Where everything dies and she's not tending to the crops and all the things. And then Persephone eats a pomegranate, gets released back up, but Zeus has to tell her to go down to the underworld for 4 months out of the year, which is what is winter. So Demeter rejoices and, you know, life is luscious and full and nature thrives during the other seasons and then begins to fade and go into winter when she goes down. But that sort of is this full moon energy, is this going into the depths and going into the darkness and bringing all that up, and it changes you, right? The shadows and facing them and integrating them and accepting them, it changes you. And so that's really a big theme of this moon, and you'll be feeling it for a couple days afterwards. So when this episode comes out on Thursday, you'll still be feeling a little bit of that energy from the full moon in Scorpio. And then we have tomorrow. So tomorrow when this comes out, Mercury is stationing direct, and Mercury in retrograde in Aries just kind of always makes me giggle, because it's like, literally, I know Mercury can be challenging in retrograde regardless of the sign, but especially in fire signs, and especially in a cardinal fire sign, where it just wants to start. It wants to move. It wants action and all the forward movement. And Mercury in retrograde is like, wait, we can't do that. We need to review, and we need to reflect, and we need to think about it. We need to pause, and we need to slow down. And so it's this hugely, is this just energy that it's challenging. So you might have been feeling quite challenged over the last, 25 days since April 1st. But I think with it being going direct, it's going to be in its shadow phase until May 13th. But just taking this time to really, we're going to have more clarity on things that were maybe coming up during the last month. And Mercury is going to pass over Chiron for a third time. And I noticed when Mercury was passing over Chiron, I felt intense mental anxiety. That's just me personally. Aries for me is in my ninth house. And so we might be feeling that again, but with a little bit more clarity. Like, it might not feel as intense with it moving forward in direct. So if you just think about the themes that have come up for you over the last month, then yeah, you might feel a little bit more clear on those things and on those themes. It's not to say over the last month that you shouldn't have made plans or signed things or whatever. I know Mercury just asks us to slow down, to think about it. It's sort of like having emotional authority, just like pause before you do something, right? But if there were things that you were waiting, you might feel, again, more clarity on them now moving forward. So that's something to look forward to. But yeah, I'm not going to take up too much time here. I'm just feeling very, like, I woke up this morning, I've been sleeping a little bit later the last few days. So I woke up this morning just feeling like buzzy. I don't know how else to explain it. Tired and buzzy at the same time. And I've just been feeling, yeah, just like a lot, again, a lot of shifts, a lot of changes, a lot of forward movement, a lot of excitement. It's always through everything. Every year, every month, I just feel myself like revving up and changing. And of course, the healing and growth is not linear. You have times where you backslide, like the week of the eclipse, I was so anxious and I was so in my shadow that week. And it can always feel like we're not going to come out of it. But remember, this too shall pass. That's always my phrase, this too shall pass. And not taking action in the moment and just sort of sitting with it and seeing what it's showing you, at least for me, has been really helpful. Of like, okay, I don't have to do anything right now. Let me just sit through this. Let me face it. Let me journal on it. Let me meditate on it. Let me move my body, and then we'll reassess and see what's coming up. So if you're feeling challenged in any way, remember this too shall pass. And yeah, the collective is open. The collective is a space for myself and five other incredible souls where we host so many live calls during the month, full moon calls, new moon circles. I will be hosting the new moon in Taurus circle because I'm a Taurus and I just love this. So there are, yeah, full moon circles, new moon circles, parenting and human design chats, reverse transit readings. I did an emotional authority or just an emotions workshop last month. There's just like so much. Like, and it's not just us guiding you. This is a collective experience, right? We are a community. And so it's really, really a beautiful container, beautiful space. So if you're interested, the link is down below. Holistic Human Design Academy is also open. And there is a private Instagram page. You will get a one-on-one session. And it's literally 9 modules to really peeling back the layers and understanding yourself. And you will have support through it because it is a lot of information. And if you have been listening for a while, I'm not surface level. I go pretty deep. And so I really try and give as much as I can in this program because I want you to be supported. You have lifetime access to it. So if you need to go through a second time, you can absolutely do that because, again, it's a lot of information and it's dripped out in 9 weeks. That also, the link for that is down in the show notes as well. And one-on-one sessions are available, all the things, everything you need to know is down below. So click it, and all the ways that you can find Lisa as well are in the show notes. So enjoy this episode. This is a pretty casual conversation between Lisa and I, just sharing our experiences, the things that we've learned together, the ways that we've worked together. We talk about human design, astrology, all the things. So enjoy this episode, and I will speak to you soon. Welcome to the Emotional Mastery Podcast. Today, I have Lisa Duggar on, and we connected sometime, I think it was like April of this year. I know you had mentioned it yesterday, and we've been like accountability partners through To Be Magnetic, like all of our manifestation journey. I've been doing astrology reports for you. You have a pretty solid base in human design. So we're just kind of like all of these things. And so we decided to do a podcast interview because we're always on Voxer, you know, back and forth. And it's been such a supportive relationship. And this is where, you know, sometimes people talk about social media and like the downfalls, but it's like meeting somebody like you and having somebody on my side that supports me is just so beautiful. And we've never actually met, right? It's like, right, we met through like someone and we've just connected, and it's just been such a beautiful journey. So welcome to the podcast. And I always start, I'm just going to hand the floor over to you and you can share your story, anything, you know, pivotal along the way that's kind of gotten you to where you're at now. And we'll take it from there.
I was going to say to that is, how try explaining this to my husband or even our, you know, you're like, how do you know her? Oh, she's my friend. I don't know. She's out somewhere. There somewhere. Yeah, I'm working on my story. I was in corporate world forever, got into the car business. I got fired from a job, I guess, in 2000 when the economy, I fired from a job, started working with and for my husband. And then talking about manifestation, he has a car business, or we were winding down a car business, had a car business. And I was like, oh, I don't ever want to do that. I never want to be dealing with people and collect their money and talking to people and their stories and why they can't pay and what's going wrong with their cars. I never want to do that. So that's how you manifest. I call it reverse manifesting.
Yeah. The universe heard, I want to do that.
I want to do that. The universe heard me saying it, didn't hear it, I do not. Right. So I ended up running the car business for 7 or 8 years. Mm. And then when COVID happened, it just sort of started to happen. Things got more expensive. Interest rates went up, and I was like, I don't think that the universe just kept slowly. Like, this isn't what you want to do. And I stopped buying cars, and people are like, you aren't going to buy any more cars. I'm like, no, we're not going to buy any more cars. Yet. And then in January this year, the universe went, you're going to be a life coach. I went, hold on, what? Because that's how it just happens for me. It's just like all of a sudden there's this thing that happens. And that happened somewhere in January of this year. And my friends are like, oh, I've been telling you to be a life coach all this time and all that stuff. So here I am, like coaching, teaching in-person workshops, launching a digital account, of course, later on this year. I've got a website. I do a blog. Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Yeah. I love it. I know when I hear sometimes like your stories of just like what you said, like people's stories of like how they can't, I mean, I just, I don't know. That's like something I don't know that I could do either, right? I think I think when you are doing this work too, and you have so much compassion, and I was literally thinking it earlier, it's like, I don't think there's anybody that like, I just don't like for the sole reason that I have so much compassion for people and their stories and their journeys and like what they're going through. Right. And it's like that idea of like putting yourself in their shoes. I feel like I can do that so easily with people. And so it's always been, you know, but that's where this boundary work and your soon to be boundary workshop, right, would be so helpful boundary for me workshop. Too, because it really is challenging, because it's like, but again, how we were raised. I was raised that boundaries were, you know, uncaring or unkind, or that's the message I received, you know?
I would be nice. I always wanted
exactly.
to be nice.
You have to be the good girl.
Yeah. And to have people, I said the name of my book someday will be, it's already out there, but everything I need to know, but learn about life, I learned in the car business. Because right, I learned about having people in my office for hours talking about their lives and all the things that were going on and what was going on. And I had to start backing that up and cleaning all that energy up and people who wouldn't pay and how I was going to handle those situations. So yeah, I'm a completely different person than I was years ago.
Yeah. I would love to have you, if you're open to it, of course, share your human design and astrology or what you know of it. Just because I find it so interesting that, you know, from what I know about you, you know, with your downloads and the way you receive messages and everything, it seems very intuitive and very spiritual. And also you're a quad left, right? So it's very analytical, yes, Virgo rising, and I'll let you share the rest of it. But it's such an interesting dynamic, because usually people who are so like left brained, I find really struggle with the spiritual side of things.
Huh. Because I feel like I've always said from the very, felt from the very beginning that I was like, I've always believed in like a reincarnation. Mm. And you know, all that stuff about it, I don't fit in here. Something's wrong. I was listening to something last. What was I listening to? Oh, somebody was talking about star seeds last night. And I was like, yeah, you know, yeah. I was always like, why am I so different from everybody else? Mm-hmm. Okay. 6'2", manifesting generator. Yeah. All my arrows are left. Emotional authority. And then you know my astrology better than I do. I just always fear Virgo rising because I was born a Sagittarius, which makes that my moon, right?
No, your sun. So your sun's in Sagittarius.
Sun Sagittarius.
Your moon is in Pisces and your rising is in Virgo. And you have Pluto in Virgo. So Pluto's, it's not on your ascendant, but Pluto is, you know, death, transformation, rebirth. But you have a stellium in Libra as well. And it's all in, it, depending how you look at it, but it's, so you have Jupiter, Uranus, your south node and Mars all in Libra. All just smashed together.
That's why that one of the things that you and I do is that, like, I'm so happy to have, like, you're like my, I tell my friend, you're like my pocket astrologer. yesterday when I was going through something, I'm like, what's going on? You're like, this is it. I'm like, okay, I know exactly what that means, but it makes me feel better. I'm like, okay. Because I was talking about there's hormones and reality. Now there's astrology, hormones and reality. Mm, is it something that really happened to you, or is there something way outside of you that's affecting how you feel?
Yeah.
That's what we talk about all the time.
Yeah. I love it because, like, it's like I do the monthly forecast on the podcast. I track my transits. I'm trying to get better about, like, in the morning, like, really noticing them. But, like, a lot of times in reflection during the end of the day, like yesterday, I had a pretty, like, emotionally intense day. It wasn't like, I don't know. Sometimes you're an emotional authority. So sometimes, like, my lows can be incredibly low. It wasn't like that yesterday, but I definitely felt an intensity to them. So I was like, what is going on today? And of course, like, I looked and the moon and Venus were in Scorpio conjunct my Pluto. I'm like, well, no wonder. It's like bringing up all that stuff, right? So that's what I love about it. It's like, I do it more so in reflection, but it's cool to have that to not make an excuse or invalidate what you're going through. But sometimes, especially collectively, when there's a transit that's collective, like I think we were talking last week, I don't remember what specific transit it was, but you were saying you were irritable. I was feeling it a little bit, you know, and then you look and it's like, oh, well, you know, I think it was like Venus square Saturn, or I don't know, something, right? Where it's right. Like, well, that makes sense, you know? And sometimes, especially when you have emotional authority, you just wake up and you feel like shit for no apparent reason. And, you know, we always want, our mind wants to attach something to it. Oh, well, it's because this person did this or this person said this. Like, I woke up this morning and it's a little irritated because my son bust into my room and the dog's jumping all over me. And then I have to get out of bed, you know, and I'm like all like angry, but then I'm like, you know, maybe I'm just woke up a little bit cranky and we're just going to move on, you know, It's just so helpful to see. Oh,
I was walking today and I've talked to you about anxiety. I'm walking today, minding my own business. And all of a sudden I had to stop and breathe. I'm like, I feel like something's sitting on my chest. I'm like, what? And sometimes now with checking our transits, you know, on the apps, I check the transit. Like, but today I was like, oh God. So and I checked before and there's nothing going on in the transits and the hourly. But today it was my spleen and my root were activated. And I was like, that's why I can't breathe. And as soon as I knew why, I was like, okay. My girlfriend's like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just can't breathe. Do we have any of our own real emotions? Do we really have any of our own emotions?
I don't, you know, I was thinking about it today too, because I was like, I'm really trying to get into the experiment. Like, okay, I've been, you found human design, you said 2020?
Yeah, 2020 or 2021. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I think I started my experiment in 2019, like mid 2019, because it's been like 5 years. No, three, four. So maybe it's 2018. I don't know. It's been 5 years. But anyway, so, but it's like, I think so often we can make this such like a mental game, right? Where it's like, I want to have all the information. And I think human design is beautiful because I think human design really is meant for left brain people, where it's like, it's so organized and analytical. My light just like freaked out. But then it's like, but really like being in that experiment, right? Of like actually experimenting with responding to life, you know, as a MG or generator. And so I feel
okay, hold on. You said right brain or left brain?
Your left brain.
Because I'm left brain. So it's for your right
quad
brain people?
Left. No, I'm saying for human design. So astrology, I feel like is more for, I don't want to say spiritual because astrology is like a science almost, right? But it's, but human design, I feel like is more for the left brain people. It's more for the analytical. Okay. It makes sense. There's a lot of details, you know, whereas I feel
sure
like,
I heard what you said.
Astrology can be a little bit more intuitive. Yeah. I've always felt more intuitive when it comes to astrology, but it's like experimenting with that strategy, right? To respond. But then you add in that layer of emotional authority, which I think granted, I don't have any other authority, but I think it's so challenging because it's like we have the thing that we have to respond to, right? So we're like, okay, if you're a sacral, you're like, feels good, let's move on, right? But now we're emotional and we have to wait. And then our mind, when you wait, your mind gets caught up. I don't know what is going on with my life. It's just freaking out. Maybe I'm saying truth.
It's the same thing you're talking about. Yeah.
But then we have to wait. And when we wait, our mind gets in the way. So I feel like emotional authority is this big practice of just like shutting this off. And you have a defined mind. We were just talking about that this morning too. It's so interesting. Yeah. Because I don't know if you want to share your experience of the defined mind. I think it's only about 30% of people that have a defined mind.
As you said this morning, yeah. Uh-huh. I just stumbled upon that after doing this for 3 years. All of a sudden the other day I was like, because we were with my friends and we were doing 2024 planning. And we pulled out one of my friend's chart I was like, is she just dippy? Is she an airhead? She's always splitting around, always changing ideas. I'm like, oh my God, can you just stay focused? And she says she's ADD. I don't know if that, but so we look at her chart. My friend and I look at her chart and her top part is not defined. We're like,
Is she a generator or manifesting generator?
She's a manifesting generator.
Okay. I feel like, I feel like MGs get labeled with ADHD a lot. Because our energy is just fast and so multi everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, continue.
And then my other friends, I guess she's kind of reined it in, but now that I know what it is, I hear it in my two friends. I'll have one. What isn't your non-self with your head is not defined is thinking about things that don't matter. Mm-hmm. And I can hear them now talking. I'm like, what is in my brain? Right. This is logical. Something goes wrong. I got to get a podcast. I got to get a book. I got to get a solution. I figure out a way. My brain. Yeah. It's just, I have a process for how I work through every challenge. And it's always been that way. Personal development has been my whole entire life. Cause I'm always like, I gotta get a book, go to the bookstore or the podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they just have no idea. And so they want to be around me to right. Cause when we're together, I help them figure that out. But our planning, we got nothing done in our planning process. She's insane. Like I can be here to guide you guys, but I don't know if I can do that. Right. So I do, I have a process and I don't know how to be any other way.
Mm-hmm. And that's also the beautiful thing. That's how you're designed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's how they're designed and they're coming into their, and I think that's what's so beautiful about it is understanding the shadows so that you can work through them, you know, and you and I do the to be magnetic work. And a lot of times I pull these things through it, you know, like that undefined G center gets me every single time, right? Where it's like, oh, who am I today? Or why am I different?
I'm so jealous of people who have that defined.
I know, but we're a mirror for them, right? So there is wisdom and beauty. And I find being a coach, that undefined G center is so magical because I'm reflecting who they are, right? Back to them. And I have gate 2 in my conscious Mercury. Huh. Gate 2 is it's like the most feminine of all the center or of all the gates, but its purpose is to provide direction, right?
Yeah.
And so when I can mirror that back to somebody, I can't always see it for myself, but I'm good at mirroring it back. Huh. And so as frustrating as it can be sometimes, I think there's beauty there.
Yeah, because I have one person who I talk to all the time and she has a defined G center. So when we talk, it helps me get more direction. Mm. But yeah, and then there's times when I reflect things back to her and she's like, oh, I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. So is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're a mirror for the defined G center. And then I think our practice also is that when we're in the energy of a defined G center, it's not like you said, you might feel more certain, but are you feeling your certainty or her certainty? Or your identity or her identity rather. Because it's like,
also I think simple.
It really, I know it is. And I think our mind makes it so complicated sometimes. Right. But it's like coming back to that, you know, and just being like, oh, huh, that's interesting. So I'm always like, curiosity to me is always what I always kind of lean to, especially when I'm like feeling low or whatever. I'm like, huh, it's interesting that I'm feeling that way. Where is it coming from? You know, and like doing the work. And then there are some days where I'm just like, can I just go back to being ignorant and in my bliss and not caring and drinking and just like having fun? And I think like, I don't know, for me, I have Jupiter in Pisces and I know you have a Pisces moon. And so that Pisces piece to it is like, that's where that addiction, codependence, like being really hard. It's like a struggle to be grounded in this. Like physical plane, because Pisces is just off in a whole other land, does its thing.
Yeah. I mean, I catch myself. I always talk about that, like wanting to change your state. And that's right. Mm-hmm. That's when that the centers, the gates, all kinds of things can come in. And I'm like, I got to change how I feel. And you're like, okay, it's got to fit with how you feel. And right. The drinking, the smoking, the drugs, mm-hmm. whatever that kind of stuff can be, right. That changes your state.
It does. So and sometimes I think like, so, you know, I gave up alcohol for a year. I'm now at the point where like, I'll have wine now every now and again. Like on Friday, I went out and I had some wine with somebody. It was like out on a date or whatever. So I was like, that's fine, you know, but I don't feel the urge to drink in the way that I used to. I used to drink to like not be myself. You know what I mean?
Right,
to
just exactly,
like,
change my state. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. To be taken yeah. completely out of it. But I feel like sometimes, I don't know. I think sometimes when you're, I lost my train of thought, but it was something along the lines of like, I mean, it has its purpose. And I think with intention, I don't know. I think we all know what's best for us.
Yeah. So that, yeah, but, it's been 2 years and I just don't, more than 2 years. And I just don't, I always say I didn't quit because it was a problem. I just mm-hmm. quit because I was like, this is not serving me. It's a really yeah. bad habit. It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would like, I say twice, I miss it. I would drink a nice glass of wine. But I'm scared. I don't think, I don't know that if I could go back, if it would just right back to where it was.
Yeah. The first time I had a drink after that year, that's what I thought. I was like, wow, if I do this, am I going to go back to the way that I was? But I had to sit with myself and like the reason I wanted to have that drink that night wasn't to numb. It wasn't to avoid. It wasn't for any other reason other than like I had planned to go to my favorite restaurant. And I was like, you know what? It would just be so good to have a glass of wine with dinner. And I love wine. That's always been my thing. And I was like, you know, I just did this for a year. I was sober for a year. I can do this. Like, I don't need it. And my relationship has completely changed. And I'm not saying that you should go try it or experiment or whatever. Everybody, you know, for me, it felt good. But I'm still like, I have Botanic Tonics. It's just like a little plant-based, like whatever. Yeah. So even now, like if I'm out, my family's drinking or whatever, and I just don't feel like it, I have that. Like, I don't feel the need to be drinking every single night, you know, but I think we all have everything, right? So like, or we all have a thing. So now, you know, I take gummies, you know? And right. so it's like, right. what's the difference? At the end of right. the night, I sleep better. I don't wake up feeling like shit, which is kind of nice. But at the same time, it's taking me out, right? It's taking me right. to another place. And so, yeah. you know, what's there, one, I guess, is maybe healthier than the other, but it's still the same thing. And I see that, you know, my whole purpose with that, like side note, was just because of the Pisces, you know, and then like yeah. for you being left-brained, Virgo rising, all these things, I think that Pisces moon helps you tap into that intuition because how can you not?
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's always been kind of wooing, which I guess doesn't make mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah. And yeah. right now, like, because your Pisces moon is at 7 degrees of Pisces. And so we've got all these Saturn sitting there. So you've got quite a few transits right now that are affecting you. Well, Saturn's at 1 degree. So it's like widely, but it's moving towards it. So you're going to be feeling that restriction of Saturn a lot more moving forward, like in the next year or so.
Oh, great. Yeah. Thanks. Like physically?
I mean, like, it could be your moon is your emotional body, you know? So, but it's, I would say more like just, yeah, emotionally, but it's also square your sun, your moon is square your sun and naturally. In Sagittarius.
Well, it seems I want to create. I don't need restriction.
Well, you don't have, let me see. No, you have Venus in your fifth house. So that would be theoretically supportive of creation because your fifth house is the house of creativity.
I have this all written down in the astrology you gave me. Mm. It's at home.
Yeah.
My journals.
But yeah, but then your natal Venus is square your natal Saturn. So you're always feeling restricted somehow in your creativity, but it's in Capricorn. Capricorn wants to be organized and like Capricorn is the workhorse, right? So there's another. Yeah, exactly.
This morning, I'm like, I've got to find a way to get organized. I've got to commit to doing things I want to do. And this is what I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just read a book called The Creative Act by Rick Rubin, and it was so good. But he was talking about how, you know, I think a lot of times we feel like when we're structured, it like dulls our creativity, but it doesn't, right? It allows for creativity. Yeah. And also on the flip side of that, it's always doing something different than we normally do will also spark that creativity. You know, so I would wonder, like, just out of just a complete experimentation process, I would be curious if letting go of structure, even just for like an hour, right, for you would help like spark something. You never know, right? But it's just like, it's interesting how that works.
I do. I remember taking a personality test a million years ago for a job, and it said something about my organizational structure will always change. Like how I stay organized, right? This is brand new. I will do this for a couple of weeks or maybe a month. Then I'll be like, I don't feel like doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And then I'll have like you with all the journals. I'll go to this and then I'll be changing this. I don't beat myself up about the fact that I spent money on that, but I'm not using it anymore because different things feel different and creative different times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all experiment. So I try and like take myself out of my mind sometimes. I'm like, you know what? It's just, you know, like that zooming out and just the big picture. I have gate 9 in my unconscious Mars, which is my core wounding. You don't have gate 9. But that's like, it gets like lost in the big picture. So it's really hard to see like the step that, you know, putting your foot in front of the other. It's like, I see this big mountain and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't even start. I'm just going to walk away. Right. And so, but at the same time, that core wound turns into your vocation and it turns. So once I can understand like, okay, that's the big picture. I don't have to get overwhelmed. What can I do right now? What small thing can I do right now?
Right.
Move towards it and forget about that. That will help me. So it's always like, but I do notice that in my life where I'm like, okay, I see the big picture and I'm just going to throw my hands up. Cause I'm like, it's impossible. It's so big, you know, but then it's like, no, one little thing, you know, and consistency and showing up. And so,
and one little thing turns into more. So I left here the other day after I'd done a couple of things, like just do a couple of things, just do it. Right. I just did a couple of things. I'm like, oh my God, I feel so much more aligned when I do just a few little things.
Yeah. So I'd love to know like what your experience, I guess, with knowing your human design has, you know, helped in your life, especially like your emotions are unconsciously defined. So in theory, you're like, your mind doesn't really have, like, did you feel like you were non-emotional for a while? Or have you always like been very aware of your emotions?
Always aware of my emotions. I remember saying to my mom, my mom must have said something about my emotions not being. I'm like, I feel how you feel, and this is how I feel. So I think I remember saying that at one time. She threw that back at me. I don't know when. I don't know why. How she dismissed my emotions back at one time. But no, it helped me a lot to know to wait, because then I get excited. I get it's even written in one of my like gates or something that I just get freaking so excited about something. And I'll be like, oh, I'm gonna do it. It's like right now. Okay, hold on. So how does that help me? Well, so right now there is a woman that I came across on Instagram. I was like, oh, actually no, Kajabi podcast. I'm like, oh, I really like her. I'm gonna listen. I'm like, I'm gonna sign up with her. I'm like, no, don't go jumping in and spend all that money. So I'm waiting and still I'm excited. And then I'm gonna wait a couple more days because it's a financial investment. And before I would just be like, do it. And I would just spend the money. Mm-hmm. And then you'll go back and you're like, oh, so I wait to check in with myself. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Much longer.
Yeah. I feel like it's been for me, it's helped me in the same way. Like I still have moments where like, I want the thing, but then I'm like, do I really need it? Like my Amazon cart, it's like ridiculous how much stuff is in there. Oh, that's
right. We talked about that. We just stick it in there and exactly. You decide it's later.
Exactly. And if I forget about it, I'm like, oh, then I just delete it, you know, but like, at least I'm not in the moment, like feeling that root pressure because the undefined root, which I also have, you know, and then I'm like, okay, I don't need the thing right now. And if it's meant to be, it'll be like, because so much marketing out there is the do it now. You have 24 hours and you're like, oh my God, I need it.
I just signed up for that woman's class, right? She's like, price is going to go up. I'm like, damn it. I gotta go buy it now.
Yeah.
And then 24, right? That's addiction. That's either addiction too, or 24, because that's when 24. I keep saying to you.
Yeah.
Every time 24 comes up, I can look back and go, but I spent all that money on all those things in 24. So now every time 24 comes up, I go, don't even look at anything. Don't think about buying anything because that's not me.
Yeah.
When it comes up.
That's my unconscious moon.
Yeah.
So that's fun. It's like how my body feels nourished, like just trying to like not, but it's also the ruminating. Right. So it is like physical things. It is like the wanting to purchase and whatever. Cause I think it was in Jupiter, right? And Jupiter is one of it's a benefic planet, but it's also about money, right? It's expansion. It's making things bigger. So Jupiter, like wanting to spend money and Jupiter's in Taurus and it's all about material things right now. It's moved out of that gate. I'm like pretty sure it's not in gate 24 anymore. I think it's in gate. Let me check real quick, but it's also that
ways to check things.
I know. Right. Well, cause yeah.
I do.
I could go into it, but you know. No, Jupiter's now in gate 27. It's not in gate 20, but it was in gate 24, which again makes so much sense with that, like wanting to just be spontaneous and spend money and all those things. But again, it can also just be like in your physical body, like ruminating on things. So like I get like real caught, especially, I mean, you've heard a little bit like my relationship things, like what goes on in my mind, right? And I do think that sometimes comes from that, my emotional body, my physical emotional body just gets caught in that. And that pattern of like repeating things and thinking about things. And then it's like, okay, but wait, none of this actually matters.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The things that don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Doing? Yeah. You're well, not, you're better at it. It doesn't happen very often.
Well, I have a defined ajna. So I have an undefined crown, but I have a defined ajna. So I don't like, I notice people who have a completely undefined mind get like, cause I don't really care about being wrong, but like for me, it's that inspiration that comes in that gets me right. And being open to all the things, like I'm not creating inspiration within myself, but it's fascinating Wow. because my son who has a defined mind, sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I'm just picking up his thoughts or vice versa, but like, I will literally be thinking about something and he will verbalize it. And I'm like, stop. It's creepy.
Yes.
But like, so then I'm like, yes. was I thinking about it or was he?
Right.
Right. It's like, I probably picked it up right. from him. So it's a funny, it's an interesting dynamic.
And then there's that psychic or that whatever connection, right? You talked about smell. Sometimes I feel like, mm-hmm.
Your cognition is your smell.
Yeah. I've gotten so caught up lately that I stopped paying attention to so many things that are going on, but I can remember being like 20 before I had my daughter. So like 21 years old and being somewhere at work and I could smell my grandmother. Mm. Or something. And a little while later, I noticed the time, but even back then I was like, pay attention to the time. And my aunt had given birth to my cousin and my grandmother had called my mother to that moment. Mm. So yeah, the smell is one of those things that now I got off track. Oh, but yeah, paying attention. Oh, like parking spaces or listening to things that are coming yeah. through. I'm not paying enough attention to what's coming through lately. And now I'm aware of that.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, Lacey says too, or I think it's her that's, or it's Catherine. It's somebody that says that, right? But it's like being certain about things, right? Like I told you like the other morning, I woke up and I was like, I'm going to make X amount of money at work. It's non-negotiable.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I went to work and I made more than that amount. Right. But that was like the minimum. Or like you said, with parking spaces, like sometimes like we'll go somewhere and I'll tell my son out loud. I'm like, there's going to be a parking spot right there for us. The universe is holding it for us. And I will literally pull around
Yes. And
it's right there. And he's like, whoa. So now his whole thing is, mom, we're manifesting it. Like he wanted to buy something for like $10. Right. So he's like going through the car and, you know, I get coins from the store and we put them in the car. So, and he always wants to hold them. So God knows how many coins are actually the backseat of the car. So he's like I'm in
money.
Like, yeah. Like quarters and stuff.
Just money. Okay. Okay.
So he was like, I need to manifest $10. And he was like looking through the car and I was like, you're not going to find $10 in coins. And he was like, I'm manifesting it, mom. And I was like, okay. Sure enough, you know, that child found $10 in coins, but it's like, but I love that. Exactly. And that's what I love about, especially him. Cause he's seven now. So he's at the back end of all that conditioning. Whereas my daughter, was a little bit older when I started on this journey, but he's been so like, he loves everything that like I'm learning and doing. He knows his astrology, you know, he's always like, I'm a Gemini moon. I am Scorpio rising. But I think it's beautiful that he is so, I just think it's empowering to him as he grows, you know, like he wants to manifest a Lamborghini. That's like his obsession right now. And I'm like, well, I mean, believe that it's already yours. Think about exactly what it feels like to drive it. He's going to, he said when he gets it, he's taking chicks to McDonald's. And I'm like, you might want to spring for something a little bit nicer than a Lamborghini, but whatever.
It's a drive-through. All here's my money.
Right.
So he's three a specific manifester or none.
You know what? Actually, I don't remember. I think he's, specific because he is, I know he's passive with his eating digestion and that kid eats all the time.
That's right. You're talking about that.
Yeah. Let me see. I think I've got him in here, Christian.
That put the lock on that cabinet.
Oh, not yet, but oh my gosh. Yeah. He's a specific manifester. His mind is left and his body's right.
Okay.
But I know. And now they're complaining that there's no food in the house. And I'm like, you guys just, it's so frustrating. But then I'm like, you know what? Whatever.
Did I write that down? I was working on a blog post. I can't remember if I wrote that down.
Yeah. So I don't know. So, okay. Back to human design. Like how do you feel like apart from like that connection or the ability, I guess, to wait through your wave, do you feel like your emotional experience has changed since you found human design?
No.
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 Okay.
I mean, like how I experienced my, no, I mean, I had to rein my emotions in a long time ago. Mm. I was kind of hot-headed and like your mom from the East Coast, you know, kind of. But,
Well, you're also from New Jersey, right?
That's what I mean. Yeah. East Coast kind of thing I had going on for a long time. I will fight you. And we, not like fight you, but we will fight.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Is that like just like conditioning, we think, from like New Jersey? Like the energy of New Jersey makes people like that? And I mean, granted, I know it's a broad umbrella. Like not everybody is like that. But yeah, it's so interesting because I grew up overseas. And every time I would come, we would land in New York. We would leave like Dubai. I grew up in Dubai, but we'd leave Dubai. We'd go to Europe and people are like friendly or whatever. And then you get to New York and they're like, what do you want? And I'm like, whoa, I don't know. I just want a coffee.
Yeah. The other day I had to call somebody. She was, there was a cold car thing and I called and it was, out back east. And I got on the phone. I was just trying to be nice and said, this is not our car. This is not ours. And I could hear it in her voice with her coming at me. And I was like, okay, she's on the East Coast. I recognize this. I'm going to back up. And I took a step back and I approached her again. And she was like, okay, but yeah, I don't know. Everything's different. They move faster. It's always been. When I was selling garage, I was on garage door customer service. They used to do garage doors, tell people how to install garage doors. And people from the East Coast were so much harder to listen to and get through. And
but I mean, I guess like we know, right? Like from doing this work and stuff, things are like passed down generationally. So it's like, where was that like core wounding coming from where we just feel, because it is an insecurity at the end of the day, right? When you're like so on the defense, it's like you're in fear, right? You're in lack and you're in fear and you're just like worried that people... I don't know if it's like not being seen or I don't know. Cause I think there's like a difference between like, what is it? Like righteous anger, like whatever. And then just being like mad and like aggressive, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Because like, true to fault. Everybody's out to get me.
It's, I mean, and everywhere has their thing. Like Texas is, I mean, I have my issues with Texas, but like, you know, everybody's, I don't know. It's just interesting where I'm like, why is it just, it's so so much more challenging to like be social, like navigate. Like, I feel like over there, even like in Boston, cause my ex was from Boston, but it's just like, nobody has time to like stop or do anything or like make connections with people, you know? And you go other places like in the South where people are knocking on neighbors' doors and like bringing them baskets of fruit and things like that. And they want to connect and converse. And it's just like, where is that disconnect between like people on the East Coast and the South or the West Coast. And
yeah, we were in Georgia a couple of weeks ago and I was like, people are so nice here. Yeah. Not that I'll say hi to everybody in Ohio, but yeah, they're so nice in Georgia. It was very,
Yeah. And then you go places like where just everybody knows everybody and they're sitting on their porches and talking. And it's like, this is actually like really, I mean, that's how we're supposed to be. Right. Like I think as humans, we are like social creatures and connection is part of our like core needs. You know, and even just like going back through the TBM work over the past week, like identifying like where in my childhood, like I was connected or didn't feel connected and how that impacted me. So it's like, I know it's just interesting where people, you know, from like the East Coast are just so fast and they don't like have that connection with people. It's like, they're really craving it, but then they get like defensive when it's, I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting thought.
You said, East Coast. I always thought I talk fast because it came from the East. And then I met you and we're both manifesting generators. I listen, like I can, you can't like, I listen to other people's Voxer messages. Sometimes I'm like, okay, three, come on. We get to the point. If yours has to be on one, because if it goes anywhere beyond one, I can't even understand what you say. Because both of us are like,
I put yours on too, but I'm just so used to it. Like I listen to podcasts at 1.5 and I'm like, I just, I know. And I'm trying to, especially with the podcast, I really try and slow down and like make my point heard and have like pauses. But when I get worked up, I'm just like a mile a minute and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where that came from because I didn't grow up on the East Coast.
No, so it's manifesting generator. Yeah, I've had people like, when I had somebody working here, I would get excited and I would, even my words would come out of my mouth because my mouth can't keep up how fast my brain moves. And she's like, people are like, what did she say? And the girl who worked for me, I'm used to this. I know what she said, but people can't even understand what I say sometimes.
My hand, like when I'm journaling, I feel like my hand can't keep up with my mind, especially when I'm trying to journal my dreams. Like, actually I'm usually pretty good at it, but lately, like the last couple of months, I'm like not remembering anything. I don't know why. It's like kind of bothering me where I'm like, why am I not remembering my dreams?
You have, right? Don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm an aura
ring. Does it track your sleep?
Yeah. And like, sometimes it's really
you're actually REM deep sleeping or whatever dream sleeping. Like, you just don't remember.
I didn't check from last night. The night before I didn't have great REM sleep, but I think I'm just not remembering it. Like I will, like when I first wake up, like I'll have a flash of it. And then sometimes I'll just have a feeling of it. Right. And so, but then when it comes time, cause like I get up and then I get my kids up and then I get my coffee and then I journal.
And it's just gone.
Yeah. And by the time I sit down, but like sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's there. So I don't know. It's just wherever I'm at, I guess, it's just not remembering my dreams. But
Allison talks about you have to be able to right away or it's gone. Yeah.
Well, I'm the worst in the morning too. Like I snooze my alarm for like half an hour. So I'm sure if I actually got up at 5:30 when my alarm actually goes off, I'd have the space to journal my dreams. But I like to sleep.
Got kids and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I get the dogs. If I don't get up by 4 o'clock, the dogs are.
Oh my gosh. I know sometimes I get up and like, cause I have a rule, like I don't touch my phone for like 30 minutes. So I'll get my coffee. I journal, I get the kids, and then I'll get on my phone like right before we leave. But like, sometimes I'll check like Voxer in the morning and it's like, and I have messages from you from like 4:17 my time. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's so early, but I do notice, I do feel better when I get up earlier. So like Thanksgiving week, when my kids were off of school, I didn't have to get up till like 7:30. But then I don't get to the gym on time. And then I start sleeping in later.
You were so out of sorts that week.
Oh, so much. Yeah. And then when I get back to like 6 a.m. wake ups, like I'm always tired when I get up, but I feel so much better throughout the day. So yeah, I guess like my body does like getting up early, but my mind doesn't like it. I'm like, I want to sleep. That's the Taurus in me though.
Is it?
Yeah. And Taurus, and you talk about like speed. It's interesting because Taurus rules the throat. And so I think that's where like a lot of my communication comes from. But Taurus is really slow and like can be really lazy and stubborn and all those things. So I don't know where that speed comes from. But I think it's like my solar plexus is connected to my throat through 1222, that channel. And then my throat is connected to my ajna. And it's all conscious. Yeah. Consciously, I'm an emotional manifester. That's what my mind thinks I am, which is also probably the speed. Let me check yours. Have we done that before?
I don't think so.
Okay, let me see. Your personality. Okay. Yeah. You're still an MG. Your mind thinks that you're a manifesting generator, and then your body is a projector. Yeah. Emotional projector.
Oh my gosh.
So your body theoretically needs that invitation. But as a whole, you're an MG.
You can say that like, yeah, it's written everywhere in my design that like the complete channels are two, community and charisma, but community is the one that I can't, I'm not supposed to go to people to say, hey, can I be involved with your stuff?
So
I have to wait for them to ask me.
Yeah, exactly. And then happens. You can share.
But you're like, how's that supposed to happen if I didn't go ask them? But
yeah.
When I like asked to go to the middle school one time, like I'm volunteer to something. You'd think the school needs volunteers, nothing. And then all of a sudden something comes out of the blue with women, new directions. And they're like, can you come speak at our facility in May? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you guys. So that's,
Yeah. And it's that combination too of like waiting to respond. Right. Yeah. But then it's also having the invitation and like, even like more nuanced than that, every single gate is a projected gate, a manifested gate, a generator gate, right?
Yeah.
So then even within like that, like you're an MG. So like for me, that I have the 4323, that's my conscious sun earth, right? So that's 70% of, it is for you. It is. But that's 70% of my personality, right? But that's a projected channel. So to share my ideas, to have them actually land, to be in that genius aspect of that genius freak channel, I have to be invited to share my ideas. So when I'm over here, like just telling everybody, then that's when people are like, whoa, freak, walk away, right? But if somebody asks me, invites me to share it, and then it flows through me, that's when people are like, literally I've had people before be like, you are such a genius, or that's genius or whatever. And I'm like, you invited me. It's always there.
And it is. You go, how are you supposed to let that happen? You just have to, I just go all the time.
And that's where I feel for projectors, because projectors honestly see everything, right? Because they're so interested in other people. They're study people and they're hyper-focused on other people. Their aura is it's like focused and penetrating because they want to know you. And so they have so much knowledge to share, but when it's not invited, it's so much resistance. Like, I don't want that from you. You're wrong. Or I don't need that. And people like push back. But it's like, if you have a projector friend in your life and you actually want advice, like invite them to share it and it'll land. But they like, no, they see it all, but they just want to share without being invited to share. And then people don't want to hear it.
Because I was with a projector a couple weeks ago and we were in Georgia and it didn't have enough time to ask her all the questions.
Yeah.
Cause her daughter was gone. Okay. Her daughter's a 3-1 or something though. Her daughter kept taking all this time. Her daughter's 5 and the kid would just disappear. I'm like, she's gotta be a 2.
Yeah.
I was like, she's upstairs. She's hanging out. She's 5 years old. She's spending 2 hours in a bedroom. Just I find out later she's talking to her grandparents. So she's doing all that stuff. But I was like, she's got to be. How is a three a kid who spends all that time in bed? I don't know.
Is it 3-6? 3-6, 1-3.
I don't have
it. Yeah, three. There's not 3-2. It's 2-4, 2-5. Six,
she wasn't
two.
A 2. I was like so bummed out. I'm like, yeah. She's not a 2. I was sure she was a 2.
She might have been 1-3, 3-6.
Okay.
3-5, maybe. She might have been 3-5.
Her mom has it.
Yeah. But also depends. Was she a generator, projector?
Right. I think she was a generator, a manifesting generator. So it caught me off guard. But
yeah. Well, my daughter's, she's a 1-3 generator and she spends all of her time in her room. But she's doing things, right? She's talking to her friends or she's like experimenting with things. I go in there sometimes and it's just like a mess because she's just like conducting science experiments. And I'm like, what are you doing? Clean up. But so that's a process. I don't know. It's so interesting, right? And that's where I think, that's where I love the combination of astrology and human design, because it adds another flavor to it, right? Where it's like, it's not just like the design that we see, which is great for experimentation and understanding. And human design is like that. That I think that like from the beginning, it's that more like analytical, logical, like, so I can take, you know, I don't know, let's just see like Jupiter or no, let's look at your moon, right? Like your moon, we know your moon is in Pisces in the seventh house, right? But then you can, okay. So your moon is in Pisces in the seventh house. And then the human design gate is gate 37. So it's that gate of community. It's tribal. It wants to be, it wants affection, to touch. Like everything tribal in human design is about physical touch and need, right? Like that's like the keynotes for it. So then it's just like, okay, then we know a moon in Pisces is going to be super sensitive, super spiritual. The seventh house is all about relationships, right? So like how you're relating to people is so important to nourishing your moon. Let me make sure that's right. Yeah. It's in the, oh, no, sorry. It's in the sixth. Well, yeah. Okay. So it's in the sixth house of health and daily routines. Because there's different ways you can look at astrology. And I like to use Placidus because that gives me an idea of like what's going on in your mind. It's psychological astrology, right? Whereas whole sign, a lot of people use whole sign, and whole sign is how other people perceive you. There's like a whole argument out there of like what's better, but I don't know. I look at both of them. So in Placidus, your moon is in the seventh house. That's health, daily routines, which then ties into your rising in Virgo because Virgo rules the sixth house. So, but either way, it's still going to be about that tribe, right? It's right. What's nourishing you and your moon and your emotions and that spiritual thing. It's for the tribe, right? Like it's not like a selfish thing. And so you have that layer of like needing that physical touch, and it's in gate 3. So it's all about, it's experimentation. Gate 3 is trial and error, bonds made and broken. Right. So it's like, you can go down that rabbit hole and get so much more information on just like one, like planet, like moon and Pisces. Right. And it's not just the moon and Pisces, all these other layers to it. So it's just, it is, that's where I say like, sometimes it's so complex, but yet it's also so easy, right? If you're not following your type, strategy, and authority, the rest of it does not matter. Because you're not going to be in alignment, and it's not, and you're not, that 37 is not going to show up the way it's supposed to if you're not listening.
You say, it's been 3 years. I'm still like finally getting, some things are finally just clicking right now with human design, right now, the astrology. And like you said, you sometimes use it reflectively because I can look and go, oh, that's right. Because you can read it and you're like, what does that mean? But then you look back and you go, oh, that's what that meant. And so, as you talked about, you know, looking back, reflecting on it, you come in the habit. So later on, you'll be able to like, oh, that's right. That's what that was. That's what happened last time. So I'm ready for it. But it takes a while to have been through it.
Yeah. And like, it's helpful. Like, you know, with the astrology reports, right. Then I don't know if you, and I know you put them on a calendar you still put them on a calendar.
Yeah. The new moons.
I do. Then you can see, right. Like in reflection during the day, you can like visually see like, okay, this is what's happening or what happened, and then attach your emotions to, you know what I mean? Like reflecting on your emotional experience of that. Mm-hmm. And then it's so helpful. Like, I don't know, like for when that transit repeats or, you know, something's in retrograde and it's going back over the same exact degree, then you can be like, oh, okay, well, when it was in this degree, these are the themes that came up. And then nine out of 10 times, it's the exact same themes that are coming up again. You know, so it's just like really cool. Yeah. And that's where like, I know you keep journals. I have journals all over the place. I mean, it's like crazy, but for that exact reason that I can be like, oh, the last time we had a new moon in Sagittarius, this is what came up. And then I can see those patterns repeating. So I don't know. It's so interesting.
Yeah, people be like, oh, you guys are so much. Yeah, we are so much. I have a girlfriend who's been on the journey for like 3 years. And this morning I've been talking to her about, so I was telling her about how when I was walking this morning, there was all this anxiety. And I took a picture. I'm like, see, I told you it's my spleen and my root. That's why I'm having anxiety. And she's like, I can't even right now. She's like, maybe 3 years from now. So she's 3 years behind me. She's like, okay, 3 years from now, maybe I'll be ready for that. I'm like, but it's so exciting. It would help you so much. But she's like, okay, just can't.
Right.
We know all these things.
Yeah. They have to come to it on their own. And they will. I mean, I think if you're, I don't know, like they say that for the minute, like human design, like crosses your path, right? That's when you start that deconditioning process. Cause it's just like plops in there.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. It's really cool. Like at the beginning of my journey too, I was like, I'm going to be that one person that's going to decondition in a year. You know what I mean? But it doesn't.
No. 7 years. No.
It does not happen that way. It's like, it reveals itself to you in layers, you know? And I still like, will go back and read books of like basic human design. Cause there's always something new that comes out, because it really is in going back to the basics that we're like, we have breakthroughs and stuff. I think that's where the magic is.
I was like manifestation 101, or you go back to Gabrielle Bernstein, you're like, the universe has your back. This is just the basics. We forgot about the basics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love to, I know you're doing a workshop on boundaries. So if you want to share a little bit about that, and then, cause boundaries have been my lesson in life. It's so interesting, but I would love to talk a little bit about boundaries.
I'm doing a in-person workshop in London, Ohio, at the library on January 13th. I said the three things that changed my life were presence, being present, boundaries, and then daily routines, making space in your day, and boundaries. I think I found the book. I have the book. It's a very spiritual book. I found it like in 1995 or 1997. I would say the boundaries inevitably led to my divorce because you just go enough. Mm. But I found a book. Yeah, for me, I'm like, I feel this certain way. So whether I found the book or I went looking for the book was about learn to say no to take control of your life. And when I went back and listened to it this year, when I was out like listening while I'm doing yard work, I'm like, oh my God, it's so spiritual and religious, but I guess I can get past that. Mm. But learning, I was exhausted. I was doing too much for people, giving too much. And even a couple of years ago when somebody would come in with like, I got the sniffles or this is wrong with my skin. Here's an oil. Let me help you. Let me fix you. So that was a boundary that I needed to pull back and not give so much to people. Mm. And then I learned to start saying no. Like we were talking earlier, when you want to be the nice person, when the person who does everything for people, and I want people to think I'm really nice. I wanted that on my gravestone and for it to be nice. And now I'm like, what was that even about? Because when you say boundaries, right, you teach people how they get to treat you. You teach yourself how you want to treat other people, what's acceptable and what's not. And people, if you don't have boundaries with people, they have no idea how to treat you. And sometimes they can be like, oh, you create a bound. It's just dumb stuff. I get all caught up with it. Mm-hmm. But still, sometimes you set a boundary like with somebody. Like if you were to set it like a boundary with your mother or my mother, even when I talk on the phone with my mom, there's time. I don't. Okay. You set the boundary with the person. Sometimes that creates more space in the relationship because they actually know where they stand with you and the things they should and shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. But so boundaries is going to be about people to go through and see where they have boundaries in their lives and where they don't. And there's people who look at the, like my husband, like boundaries. He's like, what are you even talking about boundaries? My husband has no idea what boundaries, this is the new husband. No idea what boundaries even mean. The 20-year husband. Yeah. No idea what boundaries even are. Because he doesn't have an issue with boundaries. Mm-hmm. But if you're feeling exhausted and your relationships aren't going the way you want, you're absolutely going to be like, oh, maybe I should put some boundaries in my life. Mm-hmm. And it can feel like you get mad. When you start putting up boundaries, all of a sudden you're like, no, no, no. And you're telling everybody no. And it can go the opposite way because you get, I'm not putting up with any of this crap anymore.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I feel like dating has helped me so much with boundaries because before I would enter into relationships and the people pleaser in me was just like, okay, I'm going to do everything that you want me to do so that you like me. And then there would come a point like years into the relationship where it's like, of course they liked me in the beginning because I was everything they wanted. Right. But then it wasn't me.
Right.
And so then I was miserable and I was like, what? Right. Like I was so unhappy. And so now in relationships, it's like a reminder, even in like the dating phase, like just trying to like set a boundary and like saying no, or like, if I'm not happy with, if something's not meeting my needs now, why would I think in 5 years it's going to? It's not.
Right.
And so it's like just being able to like articulate those things. And then I get like sometimes in my head where I'm like, oh, but if I express this need, like they're not going to like me or they're not going to meet it. And it's like, who cares? If they're not going to meet it, they're not going to meet it. And unfortunate, but like there's more fish in the sea. And it's just that like, it's also part of self-worth where it's like, I know that there's someone out there. I know that, you know, I've I know that it's not difficult to find a man. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so it's just like that reframe. But again, yeah, I think being able to articulate those boundaries, especially in the beginning of a relationship, whether it's romantic or friendship or career, like whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's so important. Like even at work when people are like, oh, can you do me a favor? And instead of just immediately being like, yes, I'm like, what do you need? Before I say yes, I want to know what I'm saying yes to, right? Yeah. Like before I would have been like, yeah, yeah. And like just taking everything on. And so now I'm just like, what do you need? And then they'll tell me and I'll tell them if I can do it or not. You know, and people get mad at you, but it's like, it's not my problem.
No.
Which like feels cold saying, and it feels selfish because, right? Like that's not, we're not all taught to honor our boundaries.
Right. Right. If you're not saying one of my coaches would say something about, you're not responsible for the other person's reaction. If you didn't mean to hurt their feelings, you're not actually responsible for their reaction. For you saying, stating your yes or your no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even, sometimes it's hard for me. We talk about like boundaries is such a part of my life. Maybe it's even hard. I'm working on my words for my workshop and do the research and I have to lay it out because for me, it's a part of who I am now. Mm. The boundaries are immediate. Somebody comes and I can feel it and you step back right away. Except for our parents, but you know.
Well, I know as you were like mentioning that, I'm like, that is a tough one because it's like, and especially now with the holidays and everything, right? Like being launched and so many of us are like moving through that. And when this comes out, the holidays will have passed, but everybody knows that feeling of like being around your family and they're like, oh my gosh, like I'm not normally like this. Like, why am I like this now? Right. And it's because it's years of conditioning of like being a certain way and having a certain label. And that's like challenging. Like even I noticed things that like, I'm already feeling frustrated about, you know, but it's like, it's that dynamic that's played out within a family. And so how can you, set those boundaries? And like, sometimes I think it's just like awareness of being like, okay, this is how I'm going to show up and everything in me doesn't, you know what I mean? I think you do the work, you're doing the work, the unblocking, the whatever it is. And then you come to that place of neutrality where like, okay, this is what I want. And then it's just like, you're outside of yourself, watching yourself do the same thing that you've done 100 times before. And you're like, whoa, like I knew better, but yet I'm on autopilot. And you truly are on autopilot. Your subconscious has already made the decision of how you're going to behave. And so it's so challenging, but also I think having compassion is important. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know what the solution there is.
I keep trying to figure out what my word of 2024 is. I don't know what my word is yet.
I was thinking about that the other day.
Yeah. Because like Abraham Hicks talks about segment intending. And that's why I'm trying to remind myself of that. Because that helps with manifesting and every single thing. Like if we can, like with you, I was running around trying to get ready because this is my first podcast.
Oh.
So making everything sure everything's right and everything's done. And I was like, you got to take time to sit and make sure you set the intention. Mm. But like if before I picked up the phone, before I was calling my mom, if I set the intention to, because I used to be negative. You'd have these conversations. And still now, right. I got off the phone with my mom. I'm like, oh my God, with that whole negative road. But if I'd set the intention before I call her, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be enlightened little me. I'm not going to be, 21-year-old Lisa. Mm-hmm. So we do that. Segment intending. That's my words. 2024.
Yeah. It is powerful to set the intention before. And I always, sometimes like I'll go through phases where I'm like really good about it. And then I go through it. And I'm like, I forget. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's like how I know just trying to make that part of a routine to set the intention, because even sometimes with the podcast, I try and take like a couple minutes before I even turn Zoom on just to sit with like a crystal or like I used to have incense all the time and it would just like immediately drop me in, but it started like irritating my throat and I'd be like here, like trying not to cough. So I stopped with the incense because I was like, okay, that's not helping because I have to talk.
Now you can start with the oils. But, yeah, I was going to get some oils. My office is a mess, right? The oils those little things that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have like a diffuser, but it's in my kitchen. So I need to get another one for my room to put the oils in so that it's like still like sort of doing the same thing. Cause it's like, I mean like, well, you know, with the smell kind of cognition, like I don't have smell cognition, but there are like smells do drop you into a certain state that you're attaching to it. And so that's like with the incense, I did love the incense cause it immediately dropped me into that place of receptivity of like knowing like whatever's going to come through me. And so I used to just like, so it was like automatic that would happen. But now that I'm not lighting the incense, I almost forget to set the intention. And so I need to find something that will get me back into that routine of like taking that minute pause before I jump on.
So is that something else we're going to hold each other accountable for?
Yeah.
Add it to our list.
To the list.
DBM and...
Yeah.
Because we're manifesting maniacs now that we have...
I know.
Walking every time we turn around.
Yeah. I need to, like, I made like a little notes app. I made a note in the notes app on my phone of just like pings, expanders, like manifestations and things like that. Because it's like, I sometimes forget because like things are so little, right? Sometimes, and we forget the power of like, we created that, you know? And so I need to get better about like putting them in there. Cause I was journaling this morning. I was like, oh, I got to write that in my manifestation part. Cause it is like seeing to believe, you know?
Right.
And I was actually listening to the most recent expanded podcast from yesterday. I don't know if you listened to it yet, but that one, you know, and I know you said you struggled a little bit with expanders, and I think I have two in the past. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the girl that they were interviewing on there, to me, was so expansive because her process of manifestation took a long time. And so like sharing the little steps along the way, I was like, oh, wow, like it is possible. Right. And it's like that believing that regardless, like we don't have to know. And that's where our mind gets tripped up. Right. It's like, I need to know how I'm going to get from A to B, but we don't need to know. Right. So just leave it to the universe. And I think like her story, I had that aha moment where it's like, oh, right. And that's what an expander is. It's like having that click of like, ah, I get it now. So I need to like write her in my little app and just be like, that's my expander.
Why don't I like listening to those stories?
Mm.
That was why I literally was wondering that this morning. Cause I sent my girlfriend who's on the, who's 3 years behind. I sent her that to be expanded podcast. I'm like, well, why don't, that's the process, right? Why don't I like listening to people go on about their stories? I'm like, is that a trigger for me? Is that, what's wrong with me that I don't like listening to their stories?
I would write it down.
And then work through it?
Yeah. There's something there, right?
Yes. Because you listen to all of them?
I try to. Yeah. I mean, they don't all resonate, right? But like, I think that, if you don't listen to it, you won't know.
It's right here. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something there to be seen, for sure. I always try. I know now, especially when I get triggered by something, it's like, obviously there's a discomfort there, but I also get excited. Cause I'm like, ooh, that's something, you know what I mean? Like there's something there that, and I love that Lacey says, I can't remember exactly how she worded it, but it was like, our triggers are parts of us. Well, she said our triggers, I think are parts of us we had to suppress in order to receive love. I don't know if triggers was the right word, but in essence, right? The things that are triggering us is only there because that's a piece of who we are that we had to suppress. Right. So somebody else is coming with a quality that we had to act like that was not who we are, because we wouldn't be loved within our home family of origin or in our friend group or whatever. Right. And so when we see somebody, whether it's somebody who has money or whether it's somebody who has the career or just like a quality of like confidence, right? Like why do I get triggered by confidence? And it's like, because I felt like I couldn't be that, because if I was confident, I would be selfish or I would be gloating, or you know, like people value,
cocky,
like,
was always the word.
Exactly.
Cocky.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like,
yeah,
there is a difference between confidence and being cocky. You know, you can have confident in who you are, or like, even for me, I feel like the feminine was very much shamed, right? Like that was what I perceived. Like if you were beautiful and feminine and like in that feminine nature, I think because like my family has a lineage of women that were more like tomboyish. Right. And so there was that trigger of like beautifully feminine women. And there's one girl at work. She always says to me, she's like, Rochelle, you're like the most feminine woman I know. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't feel like that, because that to me wasn't necessarily valued growing up.
Right.
Right.
Oh yeah.
But so sometimes when we see someone who's like dressed up or like beautiful or like has like all the things, there's that part of you that judges a little bit, or at least like for me. And I'm like, no, but that's because I have a feminine nature that I've suppressed, you know? So
I call them that girl.
That girl.
That girl, that cute little girl with her little purse, yeah, her little bag, and her little clothes, that girl. And
yeah.
Like, yes,
for me,
right,
it's always the really like bubbly, like, I don't even know if valley girl is the right word, right? That like, that gets me and I'm like, oh, you're so annoying. But then there's obviously part of me that wants to express in that way that I felt like I was never able to. So then looking at that, and sometimes when I listen to myself like talk, I say like so much.
Do you? I don't think I've ever noticed that.
Well, you will now.
Yeah, I will.
I try and edit it out, or really be like, if I'm doing a solo episode, I try and slow down what I'm saying so that I can have awareness of the words that are coming out of my mouth. But when I get so fast, it's like.
Yeah, my dad had women. I just had, when I started my coaching journey, I just had not a lot of respect. I've come a long way with respect for women. I think I didn't have a lot of respect for women. That was just part of my dad really didn't. And then my dad married the second wife was this little, I was like, you don't even like that. What did you marry that for? I wasn't allowed to be that way.
Isn't that funny though? Right? How that works out. It's like, I don't know. It's like, and I think like so many of us, I know we've talked about that sort of like sister wound before, you know, and like, and being in community and things like, for me, I have Chiron and Gemini in my 11th house. So soul family, soul tribe, being part of something has always triggered me. And I was, your Chiron is in Pisces. Yeah. Your Chiron's in Pisces, in your 7th house. So that's relationships. That's your house of relationships. So for you, like that would make sense, whether it's intimate relationships, friendships, it's any long-term relationship, business partnerships, that would be where your wounding is, you know, but even just like that, I think that feminine, and I think so many of us just have a sister wound or a mother wound. I think it's just like in our DNA, in our genetic makeup. But like you said, like now when I feel like jealousy or envy or something like that, instead of, you know, I mean, my immediate thought may go to that or like judgment or something, but then I can reframe it and be like, no, like cool. You've achieved that. Like all the power to you, and like flip that into supporting somebody, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's almost exhausting being so self-aware, as they say. Everything you have, like, I'm walking, I got anxiety and I got to figure out why. And you and I are having a conversation, right? And I got the girl on the podcast and why is she triggering me? Oh my God. I just live my life.
Right. I know. And that, like I said, like sometimes I'm just like, yeah, can't we just go back to like not knowing anything? But no.
Once they say what you go there, you can never go back.
No, you can't. You can't unsee it. And that, there's someone at work too that she'll tell me like, you know, you just walk around with like so much, like, I don't remember the exact wording, but like there was somebody that came in and we were sitting there and this person had such a big ego. Right. And it was like, normally you'd be like, wow, that guy's such an ass. But then like after he left, she and I were talking and I was like, oh, I just see like so much insecurity in him. You know, I can have compassion for it. Yeah. And she is like, oh, I just saw him as like an asshole. She's like, I don't know how you do that. You always see that in people. But I'm like, it's the same thing. Like, I can't go back to being ignorant. I can't go back to like not seeing these things. Cause like whenever anybody has an ego like that or whatever, all I see is insecurities and pain. And it's so hard to just be like, you're a dick and move on. Like, I can't. I'm like,
I can so easily deal with those guys. The guys who are like, yeah, the guys who are walking around, there's all this stuff. Right. I can so easily deal with them all day long. My husband's like, I'm like, I can deal with that. I can understand. I can maneuver that all day long. Yeah.
One, it's how inflated, I guess, is your ego at the same time, because it does, if you're ego battling, to be able to sit there with somebody like that. But I mean, everybody's got it too, right? Like there are some people that I like, as aware as I feel like I am and can be, there are some people that just trigger me and I can't be in the same room. Right. But for the most part, people like that who have a big ego, they want to be heard. They want to be seen. And it's all those things that our ego doesn't want to give them because we're inflating their ego or whatever we think. But at the end, like really that's all it is, right? They're hurt. And they feel like if they show up in that way, they're making other, you know, pain, hurt people. That's all it is. Right. Yeah. So if I can sit there and not be in my pain and not be in my trigger and just like, listen to you on some level, you may not be aware of it, but I feel like in some level I'm showing, like maybe I'm expanding you to show that it's possible to have somebody there hold the space for you. I don't know, but that's just the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not always easy, but
can't see it.
Yeah.
No going back.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there anything else? Is there anything that you wanted to talk about? I know that your boundaries workshop, how people can find you, if you have anything that's coming up that they can work with you, all the things.
Write that down. So I'm on Facebook. I don't have any private accounts. I mean, they're personal accounts for the business. So it's Lisa Funch Duggar on Facebook, Lisa F. Duggar on Instagram. I created a freebie for All Around Presence. Because being present in my life changed everything in life. Talk about segment intending, right? Presence. Mm-hmm. So I have a freebie that's on my website. That's also on my link tree on Instagram. Everything's out there. My blog is on one-inspires.com. Because it started out as like, you put all that stuff on social media, like back before I was coaching. People are like, oh, I see your stuff and you're always so happy and you inspire me to do better. And sometimes I've had a guy like, he's like, sometimes I feel so sad sometimes when I see your posts, they make me feel better. I'm like, oh, I'm inspiring people.
Yeah.
So I made it, and that can sound cliche, but nobody else had oneinspires.com. Mm. So apparently nobody else did it. So that's where I am. Hmm. You can find me, DM me, message me. all those things.
Mm-hmm. Is there any like little tip or tool you can give the listeners about presence?
And it's one of those things that's become part of my life, right? That's mm-hmm. so hard. Okay, when you said I had the girls who came to my workshop, ladies came to my workshop, was they took a piece of paper and like different times in your day, and you notice different times of your day. You're like, at 6 a.m., I'm making lunch for the kids and doing all those things. But are you sitting there with the kids, or what are you actually doing at 6 a.m. when you're doing that? You're like, oh, I'm thinking about what I'm going to make for dinner or what I have to do at work. So if you can start to notice in every moment, just catch yourself a couple times a day when you're doing what you're doing and what you're thinking about. If you can bring yourself back to the present moment, you notice things, life, everything starts to change in your life once you get a little bit more present.
Yeah.
So you can just notice in every moment you can catch yourself in the day to notice.
Mm-hmm. I was meditating once and my son like busted in my room, and I immediately, my whole body got so frustrated, and I was like, just ignore him. But there was something that dropped in my head that was like, you're more in presence and you're in more meditation by being with him than sitting here frustrated. And I always think about that with my kids, yeah. right? Because I'm like, I'm actually practicing all of this more by showing up for them and like being with them than being like, oh my gosh, you got to leave me alone because I have to do this right now, you know? And I think, I mean, life happens. We get busy, you know, we're planning, we have so much on our plate. But again, like even, I think it's even in like small chunks of like, okay, I'm just going to be here. Like so my son will play games all day and it drives me crazy. I'm like, I don't want to play games. I want to read. But like, even if like one out of five times, I'm like, okay, let's play the game. Let's just do it. And then he's happy and he feels connected and he's you know, so yeah, I love that. That definitely like mindfulness and presence it's not always easy, but I do agree. Like it is definitely life-changing.
And my granddaughter made that worse. I'm trying to pass on to my husband. Like my granddaughter, because like she would come to the office and I was like, oh, I can do work and be here. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, when she's here for the 2 hours as she comes to the office, or I go to my daughter's house and I'm picking up or cleaning up or doing, it's taught me completely to just stop everything that I'm doing. That's why she loves me so much, right? Because grandparents do nothing but pay attention to the grandchild. So she's been a big lesson in presence because she's all the time.
Yeah. But it does go back to our core needs, right? And we need somebody who can give us presence and attention and connection like that.
I cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's always like, hold me.
Oh, I know. Kids are beautiful in that way. And I think like, I mean, you know, you're a mother as well. And I think it's like, also like the most spiritual thing you can do, because it's like everything. I feel like all of my wounds are like reflected back to me through my kids. And every single time I get frustrated, I'm like, okay, MG, where am I out of alignment?
See, and I was nowhere. I don't know how I survived being a parent, because I was totally asleep when I was a parent. Yeah. It was just totally coming from wounding and annoyed and aggravated and mad. And I'm well aware of that.
Yeah. I was for half of my daughter's life and then the second half, but that first half was where she was conditioned, you know? So now I'm like trying to reverse, but again, I mean, having 7 years of being, you know, I mean, there's still, I don't know, there's still, it is empowering, I guess, and beautiful. And also we're all on our own journey, you know? So, you know,
she chose me for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah. And what you're learning now, you know, she may not be open to it now, I don't know, but like at some point that'll be, you know, she'll be learning. Because I do think like in still healing, we're still healing. Like for me doing my healing, even though my grandmother's not with us, I'm still healing her.
Oh yeah.
Because it's all now, right?
Right.
It's just this whole like optical illusion that it's not.
Akashic records and all.
Yep. Well, thank you so much. Welcome. This has been
a
fun conversation. And yeah, I will have everything in the show notes. So just like send me everything afterwards and then I'll
put it in there.
But yeah.
I will. Thank you.